Take your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and in this message tonight, it is what it is. It is what it is, and so a humbling reminder how powerless we are, as much as we don't like to be, but how powerless we are to a great many things in life. I've been praying. I trust you have been as well. I appreciate your prayers for Pastor Koski. That's the pastor at Gabe's Church in Iowa, in the Cedar Rapids area, Hope Baptist Church. Again, I think it's been about 3 weeks now since he had his severe stroke. It was during Bible camp when it happened. Of course, I think we found out that Monday we ourselves were about to go to Bible camp ourselves here and to get this tough news. Now, I praise God that God is sovereign. He is in control. And so our faith and trust is in the Lord. And I praise God for that. But just it was just a tough news. Knowing him, you know, he's only 55 years old, and, you know, I mean, from outward appearance, just when I met him, he seemed pretty well built, like he works out. Okay, I'm just saying, you know, just a good solid guy, good man of God. Certainly, I don't think anyone saw this coming, and there he was at camp, and then just next thing you know, he's down, you know, with a stroke. And he's not recovered. Of course, he's still paralyzed on the right side, unable to speak. And so do appreciate your prayers for that. But certainly a reminder to how in control God is and how we are not. And so that said, what can we do? And so if we can understand this chapter in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, it can transform our Christian life. Praise the Lord. And so let's go to verse 1 and verse 2. We'll read this here. It says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8. And here's why. For thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be in thy house. Thank you for your words of wisdom and truth. Thank you for your sovereignty, for your all-sufficient grace. And so, Father, help me, help us to be humbled and to realize how powerless we are to a great many things in life. And therefore, the only conclusion is for us to fear God and keep your commandments. Lord, that's really the only thing we can do. And so, but Lord, thank you for your word here. Help us to make application that we do it even now, Lord, that we don't regret anything, Lord, when our time, our life is like a vapor. And Father, Holy Spirit of God, we do lift up, we ask mercy for this dear family, Pastor Koski and the church there. Give them unity, grace, Holy Spirit, peace during this time as they would, you know, make decisions about the church. Father, I do pray your hand of healing be upon Pastor Koski. Lord, please be gracious to heal him fully to full health. Lord, we commit him to you. We pray, Father, for others who are hurting, Lord. There's all around us, Lord. We know saints who are hurting. Father, we thank you for your grace. But Father, continue to work in us, the work of your ministry, that we be found faithful and help us to give it our all, Lord, to run our race, that we won't leave anything in the tank, that when we stand before you, Lord, we can hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Bless the preaching of thy word in Jesus' name. Amen." Praise the Lord. And, you know, of course, a rude reminder, a rude awakening. If sometimes you kind of go on autopilot, we kind of assume things. I tend to do that. But things happen in life. Whether we want them to or not, things we like, things we don't like. Sometimes things that we want to happen don't happen. It is what it is. Sometimes things we don't want to happen do happen. It is what it is. I'm reminded just how powerless I am to affect how things play out. Could be a loved one who certainly is struck by illness. Maybe losing a job, can't find a job. Maybe the furnace goes out, okay, or get into a car accident. Maybe receiving some kind of a grim diagnosis from the doctor. If you look at verse 2, the second half, again, this kind of sums up the reason of verse 1 and verse 2. It's in the second half of verse 2. "For thou knowest not," we don't know, "what evil," now evil in this sense, of course, you know, God is good and only good. There's none good but God. Evil in this context, meaning things that are harsh, that are tough, okay? "Shall be upon the earth," whether it's the, I've been watching, I don't know if it's just an algorithm, but I've been getting a lot of these, maybe I click once, And they said, they're going to keep sending you more videos. And it was the flood. And I've been praying for that flood in Nepal. If you've seen that flood from the broken off glacier, it reminds me of the flood of Noah. And some of that footage is very graphic. People running in the streets and then, boom, the wave or the muddy river comes and takes them all away. And so just reminded how fleeting life is. Praise God, He is so gracious. Amen. Aren't you glad that you know the only true God? Amen. What a blessing. But a biblical truth that no one can dispute, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Doesn't matter who you are. You could be the most faithful Christian. You could be the most anti-organized religion person. Doesn't matter who you are. No one can dispute the truth that we don't know what tomorrow would bring. We don't know what's going to happen. And if you notice the personal emphasis of this truth for thou, T-H-O-U, thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. Now that English word thou, old English word thou, that's unique to the beauty and the precision of the King James Bible, only the King James Bible. In fact, simple rule of thumb, the these and the thous, the yees and the yous, okay, all the T pronouns are singular, just to keep that in mind. And then the Y pronouns, the ye and the you, those are plural. And so thou would be singular as opposed to ye. And so God is speaking to us individually. It's a universal principle, but God is speaking to us individually. And then thou is different from thee in the sense that thou is, are you ready for this little language art time? Okay, maybe my kids would groan. They have enough of language arts. Okay, but thou is in the active voice. And so, I don't know if my kids remember what active voice means as opposed to the passive voice, right? Active voice means the subject, in this case, us individually, the thou, is doing the action, okay, right? Thou is the subject. So you are that singular, not plural, you are that single person doing the action versus thee, which is in the passive voice, which is also singular, but thee is when the subject is receiving the action, okay? Now, bear with me. I'm going to share all this just to get to a point that I'll build up to. Okay, the idea is this, for example, some verses that has both of them. Okay, so like Ephesians 6:3, it says to children to honor your parents. And then verse 3, that it may be well with thee, right? Because thee is in the passive. Well is happening to you. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So you are going to live long on the earth, but it's well with thee. And then another example, Philemon chapter 1, verse 21 says, Paul is writing to Philemon. He says, having confidence in thy obedience, you want to guess? I wrote unto, what do you think? Thee or thou? I wrote unto thee. Yes, I had to double check my notes, but that's correct. Thee is correct. And so Paul is writing to Philemon, and so he is receiving Paul's letter. And so the action is being done to Philemon, and so it's passive. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou will also do more than I say, all right? And so he's receiving the action, the letter, and then now he's going to do something. That's the thou would do more than I say. That's, of course, to forgive Onesimus, okay? And then another one, Revelation 2:4, the church at Ephesus. And then God, the Lord Jesus Christ, says to them through John, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, right? Because they are receiving the action, the ought from Jesus Christ, because thou, them, hath left thy first love. The action that they're doing, well, sadly, they left thy first love, Jesus Christ. And so it's easy to remember it this way. Thou, whenever we read thou, I must do something. When I read thou in the Bible, I must do something. When we read thee, something is done to me. Okay, which and both are important, okay, because it's a blessing to apply it that way. And so when we look at it in verse 2 here, for thou, it's in the active voice, there's something I need to do, right? Do I truly, truly believe and accept this truth that I know not what evil shall be upon the earth? This is what the action I need to be doing. Do we, do I, do thou truly know us not what evil shall be upon the earth? Because if I really, really understand this truth, in fact, I need to understand this truth that I really don't know what's going to happen. If I don't grasp this truth, the rest of the chapter is kind of meaningless. The rest of the chapter I might understand intellectually, but it's going to roll off myself like water off a duck's back. I need to firmly understand the second half of verse 2 that I really cannot know what evil would come, okay? And so why is the scripture telling us this? Well, it reveals how powerless we are over so many things in life, so we don't live in a bubble. We don't live in a lie. And then number two, when we understand that, then what are we going to do? We're going to trust God. All we can do is just live by his principles, because anything else is foolishness, right? Because we don't know. Do I really understand that I can't know? And this is the only way to navigate the uncertainties of life, right? And so principle number one, just because we don't know what's going to happen in life, just because we're powerless over so many things in life, it doesn't mean that we just give up and roll over and don't do anything. Instead, it means that we keep doing what's right anyway and trusting and obey God. So you look at verse 1, it kind of builds up again. Verse 1 here, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Now, just some context here. Okay, Solomon is not talking, he wrote Ecclesiastes, the book of the preacher. Solomon is not saying to just take your bread and just put it in the water and get soggy bread. We're not talking about that. Okay, but the context here is Solomon sends out his trade ships, which brings, among other things, bread, but also other trades. Okay, he sends them out from his port, and they are gone for roughly 3 years, and they come back sometime within 3 years, just one time. Once every 3 years, they come back in. He doesn't know exactly when they come back, but if he doesn't send them out, they're not going to come back. And so the idea here is to give, is to sow, is to labor anyway. Does Solomon know if the ships are going to get shipwrecked? He doesn't know. Are they going to encounter a storm? Maybe. Are they going to get looted by pirates? Hopefully not, but could happen. What are they going to bring back? Don't know. We'll find out when they come back. But the idea is, cast thy bread upon the waters. He sends them out, for thou shalt find it after many days. If he does not send them his fleet out for trade, he might not know what he's going to get back, but he knows he'll get nothing back if he sends nothing out. Give a portion to seven and also to eight. Speaks about going above and beyond. Seven, of course, completeness, but even beyond that. So push the envelope and just be faithful. Keep sowing. Be generous. Just keep giving. This is the only way we can live in the truth of the light that we don't know what's going to happen. Okay, and so that is a huge context. It speaks about laboring, even generosity, but certainly doing it in faith. Keep sharing the gospel. Keep telling someone about Jesus, about the Lord. Might someone reject us? Maybe. Possibly, likely. May someone ridicule us? Maybe. even likely. But if we don't sow, guess what? We will not reap. That's for sure, right? And so that's kind of the context here. Keep casting bread upon the waters, just like Rebecca and Isaac kept digging wells. Okay, just keep casting your bread upon the waters. Ties in with principle number two, avoid analysis paralysis, right? Overthinking it. Don't be God's frozen chosen. I've heard it said that way. Whatever God decrees will happen. It is what it is. If you look at verse 3, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. Now, you and I might think, duh, but the idea is this. If there's a rain cloud, it's going to pour, even if I don't want it to. I remember when our house was flooded, and please, no more rain. And then we saw the rain clouds gathering. Oh, no. I might want it not to rain. Guess what? It's going to rain. And no matter where the rain cloud is, even if it's not where I want it to, it's going to pour where it's at. Okay, so this is just such obvious truth, but it exemplifies how powerless we are, right? I can try blowing at a cloud. It's not going to move. It's going to empty out where it's at, okay? And if a tree fall toward the south or toward the north, it is what it is. In the place where the tree falleth, guess what? there it shall be. There it shall be, right? And so it doesn't matter if I want the tree to fall that way, it's going to fall where it falls, and then it is what it is. And so again, it's going to happen. Now, God ordains that, but again, shows how powerless I am to do that. By the way, there's a tremendous salvation application in verse 3 here. If you want to, it tells us how powerless we are, even in clouds and in natural phenomenons, things that God does. But if you want to consider we as that cloud, right? We can be that cloud. When you picture yourself as a cloud, we reap what we sow, and we pour out what is in us, right? We rain out, you know, if we are full of bitterness, guess what? I'm going to just pour out bitterness in my life. And what's in my heart, that's what comes out. What's in my heart comes out of my lips, comes out of my mouth. And so what's in our heart? And then we can see ourselves as this tree. That's another good salvation application here. And so we may live the life that we want, growing as tall as we want, maybe housing as many, lodging as many birds as we like. We might grow a certain way that we want. We might be even in the north. We might be even in the south. But eventually, the tree will fall. And where the tree falls, that it stays, and there it rots. I appreciate a preacher shared his testimony of salvation, and it was the Holy Spirit who took verse 3 and touched his heart. The preacher wasn't even talking about salvation, but he was preaching about, like what I was doing tonight, about the tree that falls, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "You're that tree that just falls and is going to sit there and rot and waste away unless God intervenes." Unless of Jesus Christ. Without Jesus Christ intervening, my friends, we are like this tree. We might have a long life. We might have a short life. We have all kinds of lives, different things that happen in our life. But at some point, we're going to fall. We're going to die. And we're going to just lay there and rot away. Unless it's Jesus Christ that gives us eternal life. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. Without God's intervention, we will fade away no matter how tall of a tree we become, no matter if we grow north or grow south, right? And so it doesn't matter. And then if you look at verse 4, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. There will never be a completely perfect circumstance to sow. In other words, to labor for the Lord. To do right. You know, if we wait for perfect circumstances, my friends, we'll be waiting forever. And then we'll never reap because we're never sowing. Okay, so the key to the Christian life, here it is. It's not so much praying for perfect circumstances, but rather trusting and serving God in the midst of imperfect circumstances. To calculate perfect circumstances will never work. Look at verse 5. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit. We can't discern God's will. We can't discern what God is doing. His ways are not our ways. They're so much above us. Nor how the bones, just another example, do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Wow, what a comparison from King Solomon here. We cannot discern how God will make things play out. We just can't. We don't know. Therefore, serve in faith. Keep sowing anyway, right? And so it's amazing when we think of the bones of a baby, how it grows in mom from some cells, just a little spit wad that the cells, you know, we call it mitosis. Sure, the cells divide, and then some cells become the skull, some become the arm bones, meaning the upper bone. You have the forearm bones, you have the hand, you have the fingers. And then, by the way, aren't you thankful it's not just one bone? You can't move, that we have an elbow, we have a wrist. I mean, we don't get credit for that. We didn't think of that. God did, right? It's in our DNA, in our very cells, and God does that. And it's so mind-blowing to think of how that all happens. And so, wow, how does it happen? God makes it happen. And so because we can't even discern that, in fact, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. No way. We can't discern that. Verse 6, therefore, all we can do in the morning, sow thy seed. And in the evening, withhold not thy hand. In other words, don't quit sowing, right? Just keep on living for the Lord. Just keep being faithful. For thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Therefore, just sow. And that leads us to principle number 3. Enjoy the blessings of life, given we don't know what's going to happen. Enjoy the blessings of life, but not in a carnal way. Enjoy the blessings of life by knowing your Creator. Know your Creator. So look at verse 7. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. I enjoy, with my eyes closed, looking at the sun and feeling the sun rays on my face. I don't know, anyone's like that? I like that. And it's a wonderful thing if you're on your deck, don't do it if you're driving, okay? But at a stoplight, okay? But you're kind of, or in a park, okay? But you feel the warmth of the sun. It's a wonderful thing. And there are blessings in life, don't get me wrong. Yes, there is. But our life is vanity in the sense that this life that we live, as enjoyable as it might be, is still going to end. At some point, you're still going to get some aches and pains. And I remember my professor, he wasn't even saved, but he's still alive. He's in his 90s. I mean, he was in his 70s when I met him. He was old then. But he used to tell me, he says, yeah, growing old, it's all fine until the plumbing quits working. And so, but it's the idea is, no matter how much of a life that we live, at some point it's gonna wear out. So it's vanity, right? It's futile. So as good as it, and God gives us blessing. Okay, thank the Lord for the sunshine. But verse 8, if a man live many years and rejoice in them all. I mean, you might be batting really high percentage. I mean, maybe someone is pushing 90 and they've had 90 good years of life. That's great. Yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Even the best of life still ends in what? Death. Can't escape it. And so therefore, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. If you have youth, if you have your health, don't take it for granted. Count your days, be thankful for it, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. That's great. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. And so, yes, God, if God has given us health and strength, praise the Lord for it. But know at some point, this life that we are enjoying now, it's not going to last in this way forever, okay? Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. And then verse 1 of chapter 12 actually kind of goes hand in hand with this. And then chapter 12, verse 1. And so, yes, if we are able, live for the Lord as best as we can. Remember now thy Creator, capital C, only one Creator God who made all of us, in the days of thy youth. And so, yes, the Scripture is telling us to be thankful for the blessings and enjoy the life that God has given us, but enjoy it by what? Knowing Him. Not to live a riotous life. Okay, don't do that. That's not what he means here. But be thankful and rejoice by knowing our Lord in the days of thy youth. The sooner we get to know God, the more blessed we will be. Yes, praise God for anyone who gets saved at any point in time in their life. But a joy to know that the sooner you get saved, the sooner you can start serving Him. The sooner we can redeem those evil days and make them count for eternity. While the evil days come not, I mean not yet, okay? Nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The idea, of course, is at some point when life just gets too overwhelming with the aches and the pains, be like, oh boy, another day, Lord, just put me out of my misery. I mean, I'm just saying, you know, at some point, okay? And so while the going's good, praise God, serve God while we can, be thankful for that, but enjoy the blessings of life by knowing our Creator. That is why we need God. Do we know our Creator? At one point, I was that tree that was lying down, you know, and I realized by God's grace that, wait a minute, if I don't plead for God, and if God doesn't save me, I'm just going to end up rotting here, and all these mushrooms are going to grow on me, and at some point, I'm just going to decompose and go down to hell. And I said, Lord, just as I am, Lord, save me. I trust you, Lord Jesus Christ, as my Savior. I deserve this because of my sin, and the Lord saved me by His grace. The Holy Spirit came in and regenerated, kind of that tree example. And what a joy to turn that tree that has fallen and is now dead to be that tree that is planted by the rivers of water, right? Whose leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's a wonderful thing, and that's by the power of God. Glad you're saved. Praise God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, what a joy to be in thy house. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Just one chapter and a little bit of chapter 12, verse 1. But Lord, help us, Lord, to truly understand that I need to understand that I don't know. None of us know what tonight, the rest of tonight would bring. What tomorrow would happen, Lord. It's you do. And so, Lord, but you've instructed us because we don't know. And because we can't know, all we can do is just fear you, trust you, obey you, serve you, get to know you. Keep sowing according to your word that we obey that. And Lord, we just ask that when we would be found faithful, that at the end of our life, that we would not regret not obeying you and trying to figure it out on our own, because we can't figure it out, Lord, and we can't do that. We can just, the only way we can, quote unquote, figure it out is just trust and obey you. And so, Lord, we love you. Bless the prayer time now to come in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise.